Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Mac Show. I'm your host, Jeff Gamet, and I'm hanging out with amazingly awesome people because, well, clearly, I just simply want to be entertained. So, you know, no pressure to all of you. Hey, Marty, how are you doing today?
Well, it's the end of the semester, which means we're reviewing promotion and tenure files to determine whether people are going to be promoted to associate professor or in some cases to full professor. And I have a surefire way to figure that out. Interocular distance. So if it's too small as an associate professor, they're beady-eyed and we won't let them be tenured to associate. And for full professor, it's your brow ridge to the top of your head. And if it's too big, then you're a pinhead. And we don't want you as a full professor either. Don't have to read any files, just have to get the measuring device out. And there you go.
I'm taking notes right now.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're doing this.
No pinhead. No.
Yeah, professors. I mean, also could be the size of the, what's it called, pocket protector?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, well, I'm in education. We don't do pocket protectors.
Nor do you do beady eyes or pinheads?
Yeah, I mean, no, I don't know. How about patches on your...
Like, yeah,
So I'm a full professor, so you can... You can get not a full professor, excuse me, I'm an associate professor, so I made it past the beady eyes, but I never went up for the pinhead.
Yeah, well, you know, the day is young.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Have you ever had someone try and game the system by wearing a hat so you can't easily see their pinhead?
Yes, it was Dr. Zippy.
Dr. Zippy. Yeah,
and his lip curl.
Yeah, that was it.
Yeah.
He came in with a clown suit.
Yeah. And sat down and immediately said, "Are we having fun yet?"
Listeners are going to have to check that cultural reference out.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. And when they find it, they're going to be like, "What the hell?" They'll probably be glad they weren't alive when... That was the thing. I don't know. But Zippy. I actually miss Zippy now. Yeah.
Good times.
Well, obviously not a Zippy clone. Dave, how are you?
I'm doing good. Everybody keeps thinking I have way too many days off. And I don't. I get a lot of days off because of my tenure. But
No. Dave, nobody said there are too many days off. We just said you have a lot of days off. Too many, that's not possible.
That's what happens when you have long-term tenure with your company. So
seems like it doesn't work for mine, but... I know that people have been in the company for 35 years and they still get the same shitty deal that I get. So.
No, well, 5 weeks, what can I tell you? So I'm taking the rest of the Fridays off this month, so I'll definitely be here to have fun and then the last 2 weeks of the year. So but you got to think about it. There's holidays in between that, so I'm not using so many days. So.
It's true.
But anyway, doing great. Glad to be here. Exciting times, and looking forward to chatting.
Awesome. All right. And Patrice, our runner-up on days off.
I don't know. Probably, yes. I mean, since I'm in Austria, I think there's a good chance that I'm the runner-up.
You get a lot of more holidays than we do.
We do, yes. But, I don't know. It just feels like it. Dave is off basically every week, and I haven't been off at all. Like, I mean, it's like I've had 2 weeks in the entire year, I guess, and a couple of random days here or there. So, like, but what did I do wrong?
Hey, I'm taking my time. I'm not losing it.
No, I'm not losing it either. Like, I mean, I'm taking Christmas off and whatever, but I'm like, so I have to double check the math. Something's not working. I mean, to be fair, I usually take January off. Like, I go back to work even next year. It's like on the 12th, I think. So there's like half of January is basically gone. So that is also a long time. Anyway, it's... I'm all over the place, as you can tell. No, you probably can't tell because I'm always like that.
You just seem like your usual peppy self.
Yeah, probably. Yes. I'm very happy it's Friday. The weather is pretty shit, but not that I could tell because I haven't left the house because, like, work was insane today. So, yeah.
Oh, it's shit here, too. Very cold. I think you're about 5 Fahrenheit this
morning. Wow. That is worse. Like, I would be fleeing the area if that was happening here. I would be like, nope, get me out of here.
Well,
we call that balmy.
balmy -5. Okay.
Yeah. Well, I'll take your balmy and raise it to downright tropical.
Oh yeah.
Because we are already up to 30 Fahrenheit, which is what, about 2 below in real temperature, and we're going to get even warmer. But I don't think we'll get all the way up to 40 Fahrenheit today. But yeah,
that's a heat wave.
Yeah, and and compared to you, this is practically summer. Our first real snow of the season, only 5 inches compared to what you're seeing out east, and it's sunny just like yesterday, and it's probably going to stay sunny for the next few days, so yeah, that snow that we got a couple days ago, it'll all be gone by tomorrow, I'm betting.
Yeah,
it's about 5 inches too much, to be honest.
10 here.
Okay, that's 10 too much. Or 11, I don't know. Maybe even 11.
Yeah. 8 inches of snow is 11 inches too many?
Yes.
Yeah.
You got it. And there's a show title for us.
8 inches is too many.
Depends if it's wet or not.
Oh God.
I
yeah, it's time to move
you
on.
You have no idea the level of self-control I am exerting right now. Oh my God. Because I'm clearly 12 years old.
Oh, we already knew that.
Yeah. Exactly. How is that news?
Well, yeah. So, all right. Well, I guess we'll talk some Apple news. And Dave, thank you for doing the heavy lifting for me. And as always, letting us borrow from last night's In Touch with iOS show notes. And I do feel obligated for our first stories because I'm certain it's my fault you weren't able to get to them last night on In Touch with iOS. So I'm just going to start dumping. I'm going to start dumping a bunch of articles into the live chat because they all go together. And so the first one is Apple's Siri boss, John Gianandrea. He's retiring come spring. Next one is, there we go, Alan Dai is leaving Apple as well, and he's been in charge of Apple's interface.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's leaving and going to Meta, and
yeah, everybody's reaction when we heard that part.
I was like, right? Yeah, okay. I mean, to be fair, there's a lot to improve there, so maybe it's a good thing.
Yeah.
It's definitely a challenge.
He's up for the challenge.
He might be, and it's definitely a big one.
It's definitely a big one, yep. And next article I dropped in, Apple's general counsel, excuse me, Kate Adams, and their environmental, VP,
yep. Mm-hmm.
Lisa Jackson. They're both retiring, and I think that accounts for the people who are leaving, and
yeah, and one guy is no. Did we have everybody? I thought there was one more.
Well, let's see.
Jandrea, Dai.
Yeah, there were some.
Amar Subramanya. There we go. Amar Subramanya.
Superman.
And thanks for joining us for this week's show. Our sponsor was Awe Technologies, and holy forking shirt balls.
Superman is choice. It's awesome.
Right. Yeah. So that's who's taking over for Gianandrea. And
it feels like there was one more, but maybe I'm just wrong.
Could be, but well. We'll figure it out, because it's probably listed in one of the articles that I dropped in here. So Subramanya.
Subaru.
Bam! Subramanya came from Microsoft, or is coming from Microsoft. Previously had worked at Google, and so he was in charge of AI at Microsoft, and he was also responsible for... I forgot what his title was at Google, but he did AI stuff at Google. And the funny thing for me, out of the way people are talking about him, they're saying he's from Google. Now, technically, they're right, but to be absolutely accurate, he's currently from Microsoft. But anyhow.
Yeah, I mean, I think currently, but he's only been there 5 months. So either he went to Microsoft and was like, oh no, let's get out of here again.
And well, it took him about 16 years to get to the point where he was ready to leave Google.
Yeah, and then he went to Microsoft and was like, oh no, shit, no, I'm not doing this. And then went back to Apple. Or Apple, like, I don't know, back to... massive truck to his to his house and was like,
drop
here
the money truck off.
He was like, hey, here's a ton of money, can you work for us now? And he was like, sure. Maybe that, it was
well, that's
a little
how
bit
it works. Yeah, that's how it works. Yeah. So then also Alan Dai leaving Apple. He's being replaced by Steve LeMay, who was already working at Apple.
Yeah,
and
for 26 years, like, he's been at Apple for a long time.
Right, and Steve LeMay has a reputation for knowing his stuff, and so internally, there are reports, and so this is information that's been leaked out to different news sources. Internally, the people that were involved with human interface design are so glad that Dai is leaving and that LeMay is replacing him.
I mean, yeah, there can be so many reasons for it, right? I mean, it's like, was he bad? Maybe not. Maybe he was just like, they were like, hey, like, we just, like, I mean, Dai has been around for so long. Maybe he just, like, wanted the things he wanted, and they wanted different things, and they, of course, couldn't overrule him. Right? I mean, he has been quite important for the things Apple has done. So, like, you cannot say that was a bad thing. I mean, not everything was super successful, but he created some really cool, like, designs or interfaces. With the people, of course. And as I said, like, I mean, sometimes when people have been in the company for so long, they're stuck in, like, how they've been doing things and how things should be. And sometimes people that are not that long kind of have a problem with that, because they're like, hey, like, I'm coming from company XYZ and we had this and this, and this was really good, and he's like, nope, it's not how we do it at Apple. It's just
is, yeah, the thing. Is there a necessary drama that needs to be built into this, or is this
normal?
You know, because either they make sense or their reasoning is kind of independent. It's sort of like, if you're going over there, you got a new job, you know, good riddance. Don't let the door hit you where the good Lord split you, sort of thing. It's, to me, it just seems like there's opportunity for people to start to fill positions with some new ideas and some changes. And you can look back and say, look at how much this person contributed in terms of design or products or such and such. Well, there are a bunch of people who can do those contributions that will replace them. So I don't get too, you know, and some of the folks
that I think
get, some of the chatter is like, oh, well, he got kicked out because he did such a lousy job.
No, he did not.
Who knows?
No, I don't think
somebody else will come in and do something different.
I don't think he did. I mean, you said it better than me, but that's exactly what I meant. Like, there can be people internally that are saying, okay, like we were in the shadow of Dai the entire time, and there were certain things we could do, and there were certain things we couldn't do. And now that he's left, I'm kind of happy because now I have maybe opportunity to grow again or to do something that I couldn't before. It's not a negative thing. It's not that he was doing a shitty job and then had to leave because of that. It was just by him being him, basically.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, go ahead, Dave.
So, yeah, I mean, there's just been a lot of press about this. I mean, I just reading Daring Fireball Gruber, I mean, he just went off on Dai, and, you know, his headline is Dai was in Cook's blind spot. I mean, he just didn't notice that.
He called it bad Dai job. I love that headline.
Bad Dai job, exactly. exactly.
Yeah,
so, hold on. I'll drop a link to that in the chat too.
It's his latest post. So I mean, that's how I've been hearing across social media is about how bad this guy was and what he was doing with it. And I mean, let's face it, Apple just really dropped the ball on AI. There's no question about it. I mean, we've got it. They've got to do some damage control, get some good people in place, which it seems like they have. And they got some catching up to do. They really do. I mean, you know, I've been putting a little more focus on AI than more. In fact, I've added a segment in the show because I just find it fascinating to where this whole world is going with AI. And for a company like Apple, just not dropping a ball on something like this is surprising. But I think they're learning their errors and their ways and you know, just gotta move forward with that. I was on Six Colors being a supporter. I was talking with Jason Snell yesterday, and they were talking about how the employee morale and a lot of the challenges with the employees at Apple right now is just doesn't seem like it's in a place that it's been in a good place for a while here. So you know, it's a large company, it really is. You know, I work for a moderately sized corporation. You know, any place you work for is going to have challenges, but you know, for a company that has 30,000 plus employees across the world, it's really hard to do good things when it comes to that, being a stockholder company and all that. So, but I just think people just have to take AI seriously. This is the wave of the future. There's just no way around it.
Mm-hmm. I think Apple had a different product in mind than everybody else.
They did.
Everybody else wanted a search engine on steroids, and Apple wanted a closed, personal, private, contextual intelligence for users. And then everybody starts screaming, well, how come Apple is not doing ChatGPT like work in this thing? That was not what they were going for. I think that might have been a mistake. They might have been able to do something like their own product, like Copilot or Gemini or whatever. But they might have been able to do that and still keep it, keep the privacy issues up by doing it But and then the question is, why do it if you've got five of them like already out there? But I think the real challenge is the contextual stuff that they're trying to get. And they've gotten a little better with it. I noticed when I asked the S lady questions, she is pulling in context from where I'm at, what I'm doing, what I have coming up. But I think they were looking at a completely different product, and that's people were trying to compare those two. And I think it's a problem that they didn't push that enough. And then, of course, the other problem was they pushed it and then they never came through with it. So yeah. it makes it look even worse. So I don't get too worried about. I'm glad they make then the shifts they're talking about making and the background that this guy's bringing in is, I think, perfect. Not only the guy who left and hasn't quite, you know, couldn't quite figure it out. The guy they're bringing in, I think, is perfect for the position.
Yeah. I read Gruber's article, The Bad Dye Job, and like, he goes into a lot of detail why he thinks like Dye was never a good choice. And he's been pretty consistent about that. I don't know. I definitely see a lot of inconsistencies on macOS, and especially on macOS, but also like across the board. So whether that's his fault or not, who knows? I think Apple is still miles better than a lot. I love the comment, like the Gruber quoted someone from Twitter saying the average IQ of both companies has increased.
Okay, that's funny.
I thought that was really hilarious.
So, yeah. All right. So the whole thing with Alan Dye leaving. I haven't decided if that's good or bad. Because I need to see what happens next. One thing that I have been starting to question is the wisdom of unifying the interfaces across all OS versions with 26. Because in some ways it's like, oh yeah, it's easier to see and find the thing because it doesn't matter what device you're on. But I feel like we've been slowly moving into a place where Apple is not taking advantage of what each platform can really offer for interface elements, and so it feels like, especially on the Mac, we've been sliding kind of backwards for usability. And one of the big examples for me is the Settings app on the Mac. They changed it so it's what you have on the iPhone. Well, it's okay on the iPhone, but not great. And I'm being very generous there. On the Mac, it's a steaming pile of crap. It is completely the wrong interface for the Mac. And I use it I use a workaround all the time.
Yes.
For settings. And so we're seeing things like that. And then like moving the chiclet button style icons from iOS to the Mac, well, for a lot of people, they don't care. But for someone who looks at the design elements and the usability of design elements, I look at what we have on the Mac and I'm thinking, man, this is a big step backwards.
Yes. Yeah. And I think that's part of the problem. Like, I mean, there's been a bunch of steps backwards, like not just the latest releases, 26 and so on, but also previous years. There have been a bunch of steps back from a lot of people. And it's like,
so if you push on the button with the lousy design, does it still work?
Actually, that's the problem. Sometimes, no, it doesn't.
Yeah. Sometimes, no, it doesn't. Sometimes it's a button. Sometimes it's not.
Yes.
Sometimes it's an icon. Sometimes it's not.
Yes.
So when it works, it's like, yeah, it works. But at the same time, that intuitive part of interface elements seems to have been lost to a great degree.
Yeah.
I make a joke every now and then. I've probably done it on this show too. Someone needs to go buy Apple a copy of the Human Interface Guidelines books,
mm-hmm.
which, by the way, Apple made those books.
Yes. Yeah.
No, that's the problem with the youngsters these days. They just don't read that old documentation anymore.
Right?
Yeah.
No.
Right?
Read the freaking manual.
Someone needs to call Alan Kay.
Read the freaking manual.
And have him come in and help.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, but either way, as I said, there's my assumption is there's probably good, like every person. Like, if he was a terrible person, I don't think he would have lasted very long at Apple. So I would assume there were some good things, there were some bad things, there were some directions that maybe also over time changed, where like some people that were very influential got either too busy or left the company, and then like people's responsibilities changed and all of that. That's it. Some good, some bad. I think overall, it's probably a neutral, like him leaving and going to Meta. There's people that have been doing this for a long time that are now in charge, and whether that's a good thing or not, we'll see.
All right, so
yeah, I have a bigger picture.
Oh, go ahead.
I have a bigger picture, and Jeff, actually, we talked about that yesterday.
Oh my God, you're reading my mind, Patrice. So hold on.
Okay.
Hold on, Patrice. I'm curious. Do you have any thoughts that take us to the next level with this whole discussion?
Yes, I do have, because I've been thinking about that. There have been a lot of, like, these recent months and weeks, there have been a lot of changes on the leadership level. Some people just retiring, some people leaving, some people getting pushed out. If you look, I think I talked on InSpace with some people about that. Like, we were talking about the succession discussion with Tim Cook was in the news. We talked about it. And I looked at all the ages of the basically top two tiers of Apple, as far as I could get it. I asked Perplexity, and some people we could only get a guess how old they are, and some people, like, we have the ages because they're public. There were a ton of people that are in there, like early 60s, like 62, 63, Tim Cook was 65, where I'm like, they've been doing this for so long, they've made so much money, I could see them at some point retiring. I don't think they have to work anymore, they just enjoy working mm-hmm. at Apple, but at some point there might be a point where they're like, okay, I'm kind of done. Like, I don't want to do this anymore. I have a feeling, with everything that's been going on, like, I mean, Tim Cook's shares, the last share package vested in, I think, April or May or something this year. Tim is 65. I have a feeling they're getting ready for the next step in succession. What that's going to look like, we'll see. But I could definitely see what we're seeing right now is kind of they've agreed internally how the new leadership team will look like. And Tim Cook is the one, because he's been at the helm of the company for so long. He's very good at it. So they're like, okay, we're gonna reshuffle things and get basically everything set up and ready for the new CEO. So when the new CEO starts, he doesn't have to start reorganizing things. The mm-hmm. team is already set up, everybody is in place, and he's just stepping up to that. Whether Tim then leaves completely, or whether he becomes the chairman of the board, and they're like, maybe a transition period, like he's chairman and CEO for next year, and then end of the year, the new person like steps up, but he's already announced and it's basically training or transitioning, or whether they say, hey, there's a new CEO from whatever end of the quarter onwards, and Tim is gonna be the chairman, or whether Tim just says, no, sorry, I'm done, I'm retiring, I'll be an Apple fellow. I'm pretty sure that will happen, that he becomes an Apple fellow and will still be on the, like, in the org chart and whatever. That we'll see. But I have a feeling that is kind of the preparation steps that are happening now.
There was a funny comment about that I was talking about yesterday, with the Jason Snell, they said, yeah, Phil Schiller just won't leave. He will never leave. They don't want him to leave because he's been a fellow. And what has he been doing? And he's
been nothing. Doing nothing. He doesn't have to. Like, it's literally a title you get so that you can still, he still has a badge and he can still come on campus and help out if they need him. But he really doesn't have to do anything.
Right.
But they need him for videos. I mean, who's gonna wear the bomber jacket?
That's true. That's
true. Jacket, right.
Yeah, he can do as little or as much work as he wants, and that's it.
Well, and Phil definitely earned his fellow position.
Oh,
I mean,
100%.
He's the guy that Steve Jobs convinced to jump off the scaffolding in Moscone Center,
mm-hmm.
holding the MacBook.
Yeah,
I guess
Wi-Fi,
at that point
right?
it was just the MacBook.
Yeah.
And that's how we learned what Wi-Fi was.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, he absolutely earned it. And there's a bunch of other people that absolutely earned it. I said Tim Cook will be an Apple fellow, I'm pretty sure. Like they will just do it that way. So we'll see. But that's my pet theory, my house of crackpot theories. Like, I think this is the transition has been basically decided. They've agreed internally with the new CEO how the transition is going to happen, who's going to be in which position, who's going to leave, who's going to stay, or whatever. And they're starting to execute now. And they're doing it to be fair, they're doing it in their biggest period, financial period, quarter period ever, because that's what they've predicted.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So that would also be a good point for Tim to leave and say with a bang and be like, hey, we just made the most money we've ever made, and I'm stepping down.
So at what point do they have to, and I'm asking this because I actually don't know, at what point does Apple have to announce, hey, Tim Cook is stepping down, before it becomes a problem like with securities and shareholders?
I think that is actually coming up, that they have to announce it soon. I think there was some deadline where they have to submit some paperwork, and I think that is, I think, beginning of the year or something, if I remember it correctly.
So we could get an announcement in the next few weeks if Tim is planning on transitioning
mm-hmm.
sooner as opposed to later.
Yeah, I might be completely wrong about that. So like, if someone knows better, it's just something I seem to recall having heard somewhere.
Well, Patrice, after our conversation yesterday, you changed my position on mm-hmm. how long Tim Cook is going to stay. Because I was thinking, yeah, he's going to leave, but we've got a couple years before he starts transitioning out of CEO. Mm-hmm. But after our conversation yesterday, I'm feeling like nope, I was wrong. He's going to be initiating his transition in 2026.
Mm-hmm.
And what that looks like you said, we'll see.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it does not mean he's going to step down immediately. There could be like a slow phase in, phase out. Like, I mean, remember, this is, I think this is the first time Apple is doing that kind of in a coordinated way. Because I think all the other transitions were either terrible or Steve Jobs being sick and dying.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I don't think there was a orderly transition long planned at all at Apple.
Yeah, you know, I believe you are correct, and I believe the smoothest transition we've had, which is basically the current leaders not being run out on a rail, essentially, mm-hmm. was the transition between Steve to Tim.
Yeah.
But even that was something where it's like, well, we got to do it. Mm-hmm. Not, hey, let's do this down the road when we're ready. It's like, well, we have a succession plan, mm-hmm. and it has to happen right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then you get mired in post Jobs comparisons.
Yeah. I think that was never the plan. I think they were hoping Jobs could stay on as chairman of the board for a little while longer than what it ended up being. Because, you know, that was what they announced, right? First, he was on, like medical leave, and Tim was basically in charge, and then they said, and then he was back for briefly, and then they said, okay, no, he's stepping down, he will be, like, chairman of the board. That was the announcement. And then, well, that didn't last very long.
No, it did not.
Yeah, and I think, as I said, I think the plan had been, or the hope had been at that point still, that he would be around for at least a little longer than a couple of months. I think 2 or 3 months.
Yeah, yeah. So
yeah, and I could see that happening for Tim. I mean, their charter allows the chairman and the CEO to be the same person. They could do that, and I think that's also the deadline that I remember that they have to, because they would have to change that now. But they could. But yeah. I really don't see Tim stepping out completely right away.
I agree. Yep. So, all right. Well, we should talk about more stuff. And how about something that doesn't involve a lot of speculation? Apple Design Awards have been announced. And looking at the at what we have here, there's actually not many on the list this year that I recognize. and one of the apps of the year, the one for Apple TV, there must be some really crappy app designs for Apple TV.
There isn't a lot of
Max app.
Oh my god, yes. There isn't a lot of Apple TV apps, I think, in general. I think that's part of the problem.
There are some apps that
yeah, but have they been updated and like maintained and have design like recently?
The Plex app, but then you know that I'm just thinking of apps that have been updated recently. How about VLC? Has that been updated on the iPad or on the Apple TV recently? I don't know.
No, probably, maybe.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
See, the fact that we don't even know tells you everything.
It does. There you go. HBO Max. Apple TV app of the year.
Yeah. Explore POV for the Vision Pro. I mean, we talked about when they nominated everybody, right? We talked about the apps and how little we recognize them. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Timo app or Timo, two eyes. So Timo. Well, who knows how they intended
Timo.
To be.
I would say Timo.
Probably, yeah. Let's go with that. The Timo app. I had heard of that, but since I already have my whole system in place for managing my tasks, it didn't fit in, and I just, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But hey, I guess that means I had heard of two of these, because HBO Max and Timo.
Yeah.
Oh, well, you'll have Netflix will screw up HBO pretty soon here since they just bought them. So.
Oh right. That announcement.
Yeah. I forgot about that. Yes.
Yeah. This morning. $82.5
billion. Wow.
That is 82.5 Instagrams, right?
Yeah. Okay, that's funny. We are now measuring company values in Instagrams.
Yes. Remember when that was a big number in the Instagram acquisition?
Yeah. Okay, so we have our measurement for value of a company, Instagrams.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Time a product lasts, and that would be Microsoft Kins.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you need a really short time frame, and then it's Scaramucci's.
Yes.
And for those of you that are like, what's a Scaramucci? Well, you need to look to U.S. politics.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So how is the Instagram purchase worked out for them?
I think it worked out gangbusters for Meta. I mean, I'm assuming that they made back, like, the investment and then some.
Yeah. So yeah.
I mean, they're competing with TikTok, so I think it's.
Yeah, that was my thinking. It's like they're probably going, "Damn, we should have bought TikTok."
Well, that's true. It would have been cheaper. That's true. Back then, it would have been way cheaper. No, but I think it still worked out for them. I mean, they're I think on a level with TikTok in a way. So I think they can. I think they're okay with it.
Yeah, the irony for me, and I'm sure I'm an outlier. I stopped using Instagram because it became too much like TikTok.
Same. But we're not the average person.
We are not.
Yeah.
Not the market.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, interesting.
There you go. Well, we talked a ton about the whole executives moving around and all that. So, let's talk about our technologies.
I actually wanted to talk about one other thing, if we could.
Okay, well, let's talk about that. And now I've given everyone a teaser.
Real quick, because I was just thinking about it when I saw the App Store and I saw something somewhere about... Oh, yeah, and at the bottom of the article, it was saying, when will iOS 26.2 be released? And I think that should be coming up probably on Monday.
Yeah, Monday or Tuesday.
Right?
The RC was released already.
Yeah, exactly. So everybody should get ready for some actually pretty cool features in 26.2. And if you ask me what they are, I couldn't remember because I've been using them for a while.
You can't keep up since I cover it every week on beta. I talk about it every week and then something else is added, something else changes. So until it's final, I'm not going to focus on talking about.
But now with the RC out, I mean that is pretty safe. That is final now.
Yep.
The litmus test I have that tells me we've hit the final RC, and that we are days away from the official release, is when my iPad Mini stops letting me do the current beta update and tells me, oh, you need to free up space on this iPad before you can install this.
Yeah.
it'll let me install everything all the way up to that final RC.
And then it's like,
and
nope.
And then it's like, nope. But then as soon as the new beta rolls out, and it's like, oh, sure, let's go ahead and do it. Which is weird because there actually is enough space on the iPad.
Yeah.
It's close. But there's enough space. But for whatever reason, it's like, well, even though you have a little bit more, then we're still going to tell you that you need to clear space.
Mm-hmm.
And this is why you never buy a 64 gig iPad Mini.
Yes.
That is correct.
Yep.
Friends don't let friends buy a small iPad Mini.
We're both of you when that Amazon Prime deal came up. So, Dave, you're about to say something.
I'm sorry. Just kind of a side note we talked about last night, but Apple every year, puts the latest version down below so you don't see it for a while. Mm-hmm. And now, as of this week, now they're putting it in more prominent view, wanting to get more people to start considering upgrading, and my concern is are they going to force it? I mean, this is a pretty quick turnaround here. Usually, they wait about 2, maybe 3 months before they start really putting in people's view because
but
normal
we've hit that point.
Yeah,
we've hit that point. It's over 2 months, right? So I think we're there.
And I think more people are using the public betas now than in the past. So. Yeah. It might be a shorter turnaround because there's more familiarity with it. Like this is like an old girlfriend that I dropped 26.2. I'm already moving on to 26.3.
Same.
So when you say what are the features of 26.2, I don't know. I'm looking for the new. I'm looking for the 26.3.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, what's in 3? I've had 2 for a while. Yeah, but I mean, there is a ton, like a lot of features in the apps, like music has offline lyrics, podcasts has some AI generated chapters, Apple News got some design changes, Reminders got an alarm feature, Freeform has tables, Sleep Score. Yeah, Sleep Score has been updated with a slightly better, even though for
they've
some people
they've made it worse.
For some people it's worse, It's like, but I think the scale they're using now is better.
Yeah, no way in hell am I ever going to get a good night's sleep based on that sleep scale.
Yeah, but also a 40 was not a good scale. No, it's a good score. Sorry. Yeah.
I'm sticking with my sleep number bed. Thank you.
Yeah. AirPods Live translation is expanding into the EU. Also important. And CarPlay got a bunch of updates. So.
Right.
Yeah, some cool stuff.
All right, my big takeaway from that is that someone needs to take the time to take the meme, you know, the guy with his girlfriend, but he's looking over his shoulder at the other girl. Put Marty's face on the guy. The girl he's with is iOS 26.1, and the girl he's looking over his shoulder at is 26.2. Oh, or I guess in this case, 26.2 and
26.3.
Yeah, that is funny.
Yeah. I cannot wait to see that graphic. So, all right. Well, now let's talk about AWE Technologies, because they're instrumental in why we are here. AWE Technologies is basically they're just footing the bill so that we can do stuff. They're making sure that we have the resources to live stream and the resources so that we can have the website and the hosting storage we need for show files. So you have your choice. You can watch or listen live, or you can watch or listen to recordings at your leisure, or you can get super crazy and do both. And seriously, I cannot blame you if that's what you do, because well, I mean, I'm here, sure, but you have all these other beautiful people that you can focus on instead. And that's certainly worth showing up and being here live and then also watching again later on. Anyhow, so AWE Technologies, they're making it possible for us to do this. So thank you to AWE Technologies for everything they do. For those of you that are like, that's nice, but you're... Aww. Oh, but you're not getting what it is that AWE Technologies does. Oh, bless your heart. What they do is, okay, and there's a bunch of people in the United States, Dave, one of them, that's like, wow, you really went there. Wow. Yeah. So
we're all Yankees here.
Yeah. So, do I need to do a translation from Southern to Yankee? Yeah, it's look it up, people. And then you'd be like, wow, he really did go there. All right. So, what AWE Technologies does is make sure that you have all of the on-site monitoring you need for whatever it is that you need, your big project, just your site monitoring, whatever. So, they'll make sure the cameras... for remote stuff, everything else that goes along with your remote monitoring is in place and works well. Mm-hmm. So if you need that, if you need it, you know you need it. So just call AWE Technologies through whatever technology it is that you use to communicate with people, and hire them to do their thing. Check them out at their website. AWE Technologies, that's awetechnologies.co.uk. And thank you, AWE Technologies, for being our sponsor. And Patrice, I'm clearly kind of an idiot. So can you talk about the live chat so we have a modicum of intelligence on the show?
Can, Okay, not sure I can help you with that, but I'll try.
But the bar set very low, so no pressure.
Okay, no pressure. We have a really cool live chat feature, or live stream actually feature, because that's where we're streaming this very show live right now as we're recording this. All you have to do if you want to join us live is head over to live.britishtechnetwork.com in your browser of choice. And you should do that Fridays 4 p.m. UK time for the Mac show, for this very show, or also Thursdays 7 p.m. UK time for the big show. And yeah, that's it. Like, it's really easy. You get the live stream on the left, the chat on the right, no registration required. It generates cool names like the Modest Nook, for example, we got. And I don't know, Marty Jenkins. Argentius, I always mess up your name.
That's kind of a crazy name.
That's kind of a crazy name that got generated there. But he's also in chat. I don't know. No, but you can just change your name. Just up top, there's a purple button, and then you tap change name, and that's what Marty did. So he has his own registered name. And yeah, that's it. If you want to see what, like, we put there, like, links to articles, we put there cool things, links, we have discussions there. If you want to see what we did in the chat, for example, for today, you head over to britishtechnetwork.com/chat, pick the date in the calendar, that is the 5th of December 2025, and then you will see what we talked about in the chat. And if you put any other date in and click on any other date, Fridays or Thursdays would be good because the other days are probably kind of boring or not even existing. But if you do that any time between, I think, what was it, June 2015, I think, and today, you will literally see what we talked about back then. And sometimes it's really cool. You go back and you're like, wow, that was important that back then? It's like, nah.
So. Yeah. And if I said it, it probably wasn't important at all.
Usually most things are in long term.
Yeah. Patrice, thank you for all the hard work you put into getting us modernized with our live stream and live chat. And thank you for telling people about it. And now it's time for some cool things. And Dave, you already have the first cool thing in the live chat.
Well, what can I say? This is a newer, it's a magic arm. It's with a desk sleeve clamp, but I've got it clamped onto my crossbar here that I have. I've got the rig here. And I've been finding that it's been working really well for me, as you can see that I'm pretty well set to when I'm looking on camera, that I'm, you know, because there's times before I have to look up, look down. And I really love the fact that this arm is a way to position it. I'm using my Insta360 Link 2 in here, and it mounts really nicely. And you can put it in different positions, and not only does it does cameras, it'll do mics, it'll do anything that you want. It'll clip to your desk, and it's inexpensive. It's a good little arm, and Neuer makes some great stuff. The link in Amazon shows how you can do it with your iPhone with the bracket and position it in any way direction you want. So, not expensive. They're like $33 US and $34 US, and they got different variations of it, but. Found this to be a really, really cool arm, and I believe, I don't know, maybe you did it, Jeff, that I got the idea to buy this.
I'm responsible for spending your money on this one.
Yeah,
and I have one too. I use it for a smaller side camera or side shot. I just ordered another one
because I want to have another camera to put, you know, so I can do the same thing.
Yep. Yeah, mine is it's mounted on the post for one of my studio lights, so I have it just like sticking out across my monitor and then dropping down right where I need it here. And so I took a Ozbot Meet 2 camera, flipped it upside down, and stuck it in here so I can have the camera like literally hanging down in front of me.
That's what it's pointing to.
Yeah, and it works great. And when I'm done doing a show or meetup or whatever, then I just loosen up one of the elbows on it, spin the camera out of the way, and it's great. I'm with you, Dave. This is an awesome addition to my camera setup.
Yep.
Yeah. If I had a more lightweight microphone that I could put farther away, I could see getting another one of these, putting it on the other arm, and then having that microphone. But I've got this. I don't need to.
Yeah, my arm is actually working. Not by a new desk. I've got just, you know, the regular arm. and now that I have a way, this cool desk I got now, I don't have the mic this much on the camera as much anymore, and I still sound good.
Yeah, you sound great. Yeah. Awesome. Okay, cool pick. The only person here today that doesn't have one right now is Patrice.
Yeah, I don't need one.
Because you don't need one. Yeah, you're set. okay, awesome pick. okay, so Marty, your turn.
Yeah, this I think, a really cool app. It is called Weather on the Way. And I have been, and I checked because I was concerned that if I was going to talk about this app, that it did cover some global stuff, and it does cover the UK and also covers where Patrice is. Uh-huh. And it last week I was in Thanksgiving in Central Illinois, where Dave lives in Northern Illinois, and we got hit with a bad snowstorm. And the decision was, when do we leave to drive back to Ohio? It's a good 6+ hours drive back. The storms move from west to east. Will we be chasing a storm? Will it be behind us? Will it be ahead of us? And it's and over with. That's what Weather on the Way does. You put in your directions or cities that you want to go to. It takes a look at the current weather, and then it looks at the weather as forecasted in the direction you're going or the place you're going at. And it gives you information in terms of temperature and precipitation along the way. That's all cool. But the other thing you can do is you can change the timeline. So I'm not going to leave today. I'm going to leave tomorrow at 10 a.m. after the storm passes, and I can get the projection all along the way of the storm is gone. You don't have to deal with it. So if you live in areas where there is kind of a heavy risk of lots of precipitation during the winter, things like that, and you're planning on doing some driving, this, I think, is the perfect app for you. If you live in Arizona, forget about it. It's, you know, Southern California, same damn weather, 24 hours a day, 365. Yeah. But for those of us in northern regions or in more changeable seasons, this is really a good app. It is $5 a month, or $20 a year, or $84 for a lifetime. And I signed up for a year, and we'll see what happens with it.
Yeah. Yeah, cool. It's a really good app. I've tried it, and I really liked it. I'm just not driving anywhere useful that I'm needed.
Yeah, very cool. And I know Jeff and both of us use us Carrot Weather, which I think is pretty close to this.
Kind of, yes.
Yeah, this combines travel information too. I mean, route information.
Yeah. It's like when you're flying a plane, you're like, there's a route that you've planned, and you will look at the weather along the route to make sure that you can fly there. And it's the same thing there. Like you get the weather along your path, like basically. So pretty cool. I like that. It's a really cool idea.
Awesome. Okay. Patrice, your cool thing. I fully endorse your cool thing.
Good. It's an oldie but a goodie. It's Spam Sieve, I think it's called.
Spam Sieve, yeah.
Sieve, yeah, it's probably Sieve.
It probably depends on where you are, how you pronounce it.
In Germany, I don't know even what it would be. Sieve, Spam Sieve, I don't know. Something like that. Anyway, it's a spam detection app. Works with your email client on a Mac. Works with, I would say, most known email clients. There's probably some like really esoteric ones that don't have the capability to hook in. into like plugins like that, but like Apple Mail, Mail Maven, Airmail, a bunch of others. Definitely, I think even Outlook, at least an older version of, or like the non-new interface version of Outlook supports it, because Microsoft is kind of deprecating APIs. It's not free. I think it's like one-time purchase, $40, I want to say. Or if you have the, like me, had the version 2, you can upgrade for about 20, so you get 50% off. And or even less, so less than that, I think. Anyway, it's just a really good app. Like, if you get a lot of emails like me, and you like, I mean, I have a pretty good spam filter, but it's not perfect. And it learns, like it like your personal emails, like, I mean, which like the big this big email spam filters usually cannot catch as easily, because they have to work for everybody on the server. So what one person considers spam, another person might not consider spam. So sometimes they will let things through because they don't know or they're not sure. But for yourself, you're like, hey, this is 100% spam. Like, I don't want to see that. And you just literally just, and you don't have to do anything. You install it, you connect it to your email client, and then it just runs in the background. And when you drag something into the spam, it learns it. And anything that isn't a spam, that you look at it and you're like, yeah, that's not spam, you drag it out, it will learn that as well, and it will get better and better over time. And it does everything for you. So it's a good app. I love it. I've been using it for I don't know how long.
Same.
So.
Yeah.
Me too.
It's a good app. Yeah,
I recommended it at, I think it might have been at MacStock. Somebody came up and I had a conversation with them and I said, you ought to try this. And the next year they found me at MacStock and said, yeah, I did that. That is just an incredible app.
Yeah. I've had people question why I still use and still pay for Spam Sieve when they're like, well, I just route all of my email through Gmail and that takes care of all my spam filtering. Well, Patrice explained exactly why you can still want Spam Sieve. And so I have two spam filtering layers, server side and client side.
Yeah, and with that, I get very little spam, to be honest. Like, super rare that I have anything.
Yeah.
Despite the fact that I have, like, 10 email addresses or something.
Yeah. Yep. Patrice, you have a bonus.
I do have a bonus. It's a little video that someone from a creative agency posted. It is the behind-the-scenes making of the new Apple TV, like, what is it called? Logo? Theme? The little thing that comes up in the beginning of any TV show.
The stinger.
The stinger. Yeah, that's the word I was looking for. The stinger. Yeah, the Apple TV stinger. And it is not CGI. Like, you would have think, like, oh, this like, you know, this turning Apple logo in different colors and whatever. Like, that's just all CGI because you can easily do that with a computer. Nope. This is Apple. They hired a company and they filmed it. It was like, it was the Apple logo was basically glass. And then they had some background and they used actual lights and lighted it and shot it and moved the camera around and all of that. And the only thing they did was the little things that were holding up the glass, like a frosted glass, I think they used for that. That they removed digitally. Everything else, including the music and everything, is all analog. The mixing was done, of course. The mixing and editing at the end was done digitally because you would do that. But that's Apple. Like, anybody else would have been like, wow. Nobody can tell. Like, we're just gonna do it digitally. And Apple was like, nope, we're doing it properly.
And that's super cool. And I've seen the video.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Well, because you sent it to me. That's why I saw it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's not cool. Super long. It's not super long. It's not a long video, but it's kind of a like really short, like 1 or 2 minute explanation how they did it. But it's so cool. I just, every time I see it now, I'm like, wow, this is just, I just knowing that, I just love that logo or that stinger.
Yeah. So awesome. Yeah. Okay. I believe that brings us to me. And my cool thing is this power bank right here from OWC. This is their Kohl power bank. So I can say when I'm charging my iPhone with this, when I'm out and about, that my iPhone is Kohl powered. So it's a 8,000 milliamp hour power bank. has USB-C for charging and USB-A for charge the power bank through USB-C, charge your devices through USB-A, but it includes a cable that has the three different heads on it. So you have USB-C, micro USB, and Lightning. So you can charge all this stuff with this. So it's regularly $54.99, but they're continuing the sale that they started for Black Friday. So $14.99, plus you buy one and get one free. So I dropped my $15 on one of these and had two show up. And it showed up way faster than they said it would too. It was like, oh yeah, you'll have it in like a week or so because I did the free shipping.
Mm-hmm.
And 2 days later, I had it. I probably would have had it overnight, except that the first day was like a Sunday, so non-delivery day for UPS.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And anyhow, if you they do have a separate charger you can buy to charge this, and if you do that, which I have not done, then you can fully charge this thing from dead in 4 hours. Wow. But I'll decide if I want to do that, which I haven't even looked at the price. It probably costs more to get the charger than it did to get two of these.
Yeah.
So, but you know, for me to plug one of these in at night and have the other one already fully charged, and then the next day, I've got two fully charged. Whatever. So, yeah, there you go. OWC's 8,000 milliamp hour coal power bank. $15 right now for two.
Does it come with a bag of coal as well?
No, it doesn't. But
you have to buy that. Okay.
He will get his on Christmas. He'll get his lump of coal.
Okay. I'll get that my lump sense. Of coal on Christmas. Okay.
That makes sense.
There is a chimney on the box this ships in. So I'm assuming that's where the coal smoke comes out.
Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah. All right.
I sucked into OWC this last 2 weeks because of all their crazy sales.
Yeah. Didn't OWC just load up one of their own trucks and drive right to you?
I think so. Much. They were like, hey, Dave, you need one of everything, right?
I see some stuff behind me here that's unopened yet. I know we're at the end of the show, so I won't be able to do it.
One of everything, please.
So, all right. Well, it's now time to wrap up. Marty, where can people find you?
You can find me at thepodtalk.net is the website, and you'll find all the projects that I'm involved there. Primarily, the big one is Vision Profiles on Monday night, 9 p.m. Eastern time. Dave's on it, and Eric Bolden's on it. And all about Vision Pro and other AR/VR headsets. And then with Chuck on Mac Voices on Tuesday, and of course with Dave on Thursday on In Touch with iOS. But take a look at thepodtalk.net for the other projects and podcasts that I'm doing. You can find me at Gencius, Gencius, on Mastodon.social or also on Blue Sky.
Awesome. Awesome. All right, Dave. When you're not offloading all of OWC's inventory from their warehouse, where can we find you?
Right. Yeah. Uh-huh. You can find me at In Touch with iOS, intouchwithios.com, YouTube channel, youtube.com/intouchwithios. I'm on the Vision Profiles podcast with Marty and Eric on Mondays. Tuesdays on Mac Voices Live with Chuck Joyner and the gang. Record our show on Thursday nights on For In Touch with iOS, although next week will be on Wednesday. But then on Fridays here, and you can find me Blue Sky Mastodon at DaveG65.
Awesome. All right. And Patrice, how about you?
Well, I'm here on this very show every Thursday on The Big Show, every Friday on The Mac Show. everything I'm doing, all the social media links, the podcasts, the projects, and literally everything on my website, thepatrice.com takes you there. And with Jeff, I'm doing the Retro Rewatch TV show podcast. Wow, that was
my mug's in the dishwasher again. Jeff, I need to change the order that I
think
do
so.
With my
or you
mugs.
Just need more mugs. That's probably the other option.
Or I need more mugs.
Yes.
Yeah.
Retro Rewatch. We rewatch retro TV shows and then talk about it. We're towards the end of season 3 of Stargate SG-1 right now. And the episode that should be out either today or tomorrow, depending on whether I edit and then forget about it or actually post it. It happens more often than you think. Whenever it doesn't come out on a Friday, you know that I started editing and then forgot about it. The episode is really special. It has a really funny guest star and an amazing cameo of the director. And the title is Urgo.
I can't wait to find out.
Urgo. So, go watch that. By the way, I also wanted to do one announcement because we have, we're in December, right? We have some special, we have some special Christmas editions coming up on the British Tech Network. So, Thursday, 18th of December, we will have our final episode of the Big Show of the Year, which is also the Christmas quiz. And then the final episode on the British Tech Network for this year is on the 19th, the Big Show, the Mac Show. So it's a Friday. We'll have the Christmas quiz. We'll talk about, well, I will have questions to the panel about what happened this year in the Apple news and like what did Apple release and like what colors of devices are available and stuff like that. As always, it's going to be a lot of fun and we'll probably not remember most of it because that's just how we roll. So yeah, it's really surprising sometimes what we don't remember, even though we talked about it on this show or on many other shows. So 19th of December, final show for this year, the Mac Show Christmas edition, and then we'll be back sometime in January, probably the first or second week, for our yearly predictions, like look back at 2025 and our 2025 predictions, and then have our 2026 predictions coming in. So that's the schedule for the next 12 months, I would say.
It looks like we have a busy month.
We will, yes.
And it'll be great. Everyone show up and see how horribly I do on the Christmas quizzes. Because I will be presented with questions about stories that I personally brought because they were of interest to me, and I will have absolutely no recollection of them. It'll be awesome. It'll be awesome.
Do you get partial credit for?
Nope.
I'm just asking all the questions my students ask. Will you give a study guide for the exam?
Yes, I will give you a study guide. Basically, all Apple news of the year.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Study that.
Marty. Shouldn't you also ask the, can I do extra credit to try and save my grade?
Right. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. That too.
Yeah. Okay. So when I'm not trying to get extra credit to save my grade in Marty's class, if I want to pass, I should sign up and actually show up, right?
Right. Exactly.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. I blame the system. Anyhow, on social media, I'm Jay Gamut, pretty much everywhere. I'm most active right now on Mastodon, on Blue Sky, and Pixel Fed. Although, since it's December, and I know that there are a significant number of people that are very interested in my Lego Advent calendar and will only see it on Instagram, I am posting to Instagram this month. So you can follow along with each day's Lego Advent calendar build and my interpretation of what each build actually is. So, yeah. Okay, then for shows, Tuesdays on Chuck Joyner's Mac Voices Live, Thursdays on Dave's In Touch with iOS, here for the Big Show and the Mac Show on the British Tech Network. Brian Chaffin and I do The Context Machine, and as Patrice has pointed out, Retro Rewatch, that's the show we do together, and it's wonderfully fun. Okay, So all that said, holy crap, thanks for being so awesome, the three of you. My Friday mornings are a delight because I get to spend it with really cool people, and I really do appreciate that. So thank you for that. Hey, everyone that's watching, listening live, participating in the live chat, thank you for being here and being a part of this as well. If you watch or listen to the show recordings later, so glad that you are part of our family too. Hey, Ewan, thanks for being you. Muller, thanks for making sure we have people for shows. And Awe Technologies, thank you for being our sponsor. And with that, I think it is now just about, it's just about time for me to go make some breakfast. So let's wrap it all up. Everyone, don't forget to join us next Thursday for the big show. Come back again on Friday for the Mac show. And have an awesome weekend.